Betting Sauce, the podcast.
Johnny never knew what hit him when he first met Julia. He used to be so wild and free. Time treats everybody like a fool. You gotta roll with the punches. Hey! Sun is sinking low. You gotta roll the punches. Yes, rock.
Hey, everybody, we're here to analyze the greatest 1984 hair metal bands. We're gonna rank them in. From starting at 1,000, going to 1, I think at some point there'll be some Twisted Sister. You'll probably hear about some Def Leppard.
Why are you going over who we're going to hear? That's the whole point.
We are gonna
countdown.
No, but we are.
You don't tell them what's going to.
I'm just saying we will have two separate entries for Def Leppard, pre drummer losing an arm in a car crash, and post drummer losing an arm in a car crash. We're back, guys. It's Betting Sucks, the podcast.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And so, Joseph. Yeah, I'm doing it on my own now. Jonas is no longer with us. we've taken a little hiatus from actual betting, so I mean, it's like heaven sent. We don't talk to each other much anymore. I mean, it's heaven sent for me because I hate Jonas. I hate communicating with him.
Oh, no, it's definitely mutual. It really has been like palate cleansing, though, in a way. Just kind of stepping away. Even though I have bet a little bit here and there.
Secret bets.
It wasn't nearly like what we were doing.
Secret bets.
Oh, my God. It was like, what?
Secret bets.
Oh, you know, you heard about the bets. They weren't
secret here. Bets.
Yeah, they were. It sucked though. I pretty much lost pretty quickly, and yeah, it wasn't anything like we built up an empire over the last like year and a half.
Yeah, we sure did. What a run!
But yeah, no, this is good. I mean, this is the best time of the year to have it. There's not too much going on, and personally, I don't need a bet during the fantasy year. It's too time consuming. Anyway,
speaking of fantasy,
obsess over everything.
I don't think we're gonna get to much of it, but. Jonas texted me today, ha ha, making fun of me that Bumgarner got hurt. And I had to remind him that it doesn't matter because Kershaw is my fantasy pitcher.
I swear you took it.
No, I just love Bumgarner.
We had an argument about it. Yeah.
Like when we were betting baseball, every time he pitched, it didn't matter who he was pitching against or whatever, I would always want to bet him minus 1.5, which was so stupid. But.
No, just because they don't have any offense. That's why.
Yeah, they suck.
But yeah, you definitely brought up. You said something about Bumgarner, but it was because remember you went like out of order. You mixed up the order because of course you make everything as difficult as possible. Every little game we play, or every little thing, and you have to. You wound up getting Kershaw because you were protesting that.
Got him the best.
You said you were going to go bummy if I got Kershaw. So.
It was something like that. And then there was also, I wanted Chris Bryant, but I refused.
I think you got him.
No, I did. But you said to take him at first base, and I, on principle, I refused. And then
you changed the rules. So you're cool
and
with
then
the
you should have picked first
you're
at
noble
third.
At first.
Yeah, you should have gotten to pick first at third. And I was like, no. I get to have Chris Bryant at third base.
This makes no sense.
God, I'm so great. Okay, so this is going to be kind of a quick one. And we just want to get back in touch with, you know, the people who really matter in our lives. Not our wives, not our children, not our pets, not our boyfriends, not our child brides.
Professors.
Okay? Not our moms, not our dads. What really matters is the listeners, the 4.5 listeners. That's right. We've gained a listener because Kevin's homeless friend began to listen.
Are we going to call Kev?
Do you remember it was Zoom?
We got to call him.
It was like a knockoff iPod.
Wait, what was it? A Zoom?
It was called a Zoom. They don't
make
them anymore,
yeah, I remember
but you
that.
Can still get them.
Sure.
I got him one on eBay.
Yeah, they gave you cancer, I think.
Yeah, well, yeah. Listen, this guy, that'll be a blessing for him. The quicker he goes, the quicker the better. But anyway, we got 4.5 listeners. We wanted to give them what they want in the words of, isn't there a podcast?
Jacoby and Jalen Rose.
Jalen Rose,
come on.
Jalen Rose. Who is Jalen Brown? Is that Chris?
I don't know.
Is that Will Smith's kid?
No, I think Jalen Brown is a player that the Celtics drafted this year. I could be wrong.
Oh, that's right. He's, rookie? I don't know if he's a rookie or second year. Whatever, who cares? Anyway, we're going to get back on the horse hopefully next week in terms of 2 weeks in a row having podcasts. But we're going to just, I'm going to throw some rapid fire topics at Jonas tonight that I've been thinking about for the last 3 weeks. And we'll talk about them and then we'll make some picks for the upcoming weekend.
Yeah, but speaking of picks, it's a shame that we've been away and not able to talk about this so much, but we have tweeted them out at betting_sucks.
Wait, I haven't made a pick in like 2 weeks.
Well, no, didn't you make a pick last week?
No.
No, you
it
didn't.
It was two weeks. You called me when I was on vacation.
Yeah, okay. Well, I
think I went 2-3.
Yeah, you went 2-3. But both of us have just been kicking ass. There was one point where we had like two wrong out of our 20 picks combined.
Yeah, it was before 2 weeks ago. So do you know what our overall record is?
Yeah, I'm 18-10 and you're 17-10. I just recently surpassed
you. What about pushes?
I haven't calculated the pushes, but we can.
Wow, well, that's going to put me over the top.
No,
I'm
no,
gonna
no.
I'm doing better than you.
Well, it would be at you'd be at 20.
Two pushes for me.
Three.
Two pushes for me counts as a win for me, but not for you.
Well, I definitely have more pushes, so.
That's what she said.
Yeah, but anyways, so listen to our picks at the end because we've been kicking ass lately.
That's what she said. I find that joke. I mean, it's obviously no longer funny. You know, if I say like, I really need to get that sausage in my hole, like, and you say, that's what she said, like, that's not funny, but I find saying that after, just like, in a nonsensical way is, I find that funny.
I gotta give you credit, though, on that phrase, because you were using that phrase, like, when we were, like, 14.
Yeah, I feel like,
You had me sick of that phrase, like, at 14.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You were the only one I knew who said it, but you said it for everyone.
And it only got popular, like, 6 years ago in hipster comedy, you know?
Exactly.
I'm sure I heard it somewhere when I was 13, but I had the foresight to know that, hey, this was going to become a thing in the coffee houses and open mics of America in 2008. All right, we're gonna skip the Oracle this week. We're not calling Kevin. I haven't talked to him in a while.
You saw him in court, though.
I did see him in court. I actually want to get. I mean, in another setting, I'd use the word hilarious. It's a little darker because it's a real life thing. Detail. Okay. I need to talk to him.
Are you allowed to be talking about? Oh, with Kev, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, I can't disclose conversations we've had.
Wow.
And I can't give you witness addresses and phone numbers. Sadie Smith, 1652 Fifth 42nd Street, West Oakland. No, but there is a detail in the police report I would love to disclose to you and all the listeners, but I. And you know me, I would absolutely do it. So it has to be something very salacious. And I have to get Kevin's okay before I do that. So for next okay. week, I'll leave that out there as a little tease. Now he may say no, and I won't be able to do it. I'll just have to say a random client of mine, and then we'll I'll see if he'll let me. But all right, so
are you gonna have an update for us though on that one case too?
Oh, I do on the lineup on the Walgreens burglary.
Yeah,
it's over for me.
This is like what was that show? Like Making a Murderer.
Yeah,
it's gonna be one of those serials.
Making a Murderer. My client, he is no longer my client because The co-defendant, I'm not going to get into like the procedure rule stuff about it. It's too wonky. But the we had set motions in the case to dismiss the case for various reasons. Because of scheduling, the public defender who represented one of the co-defendants and I...
How does that case get dismissed? They caught him red-handed robbing everything.
Yeah, well, it was a matter of the amount and whether... because if it's under a certain amount in California, it's a misdemeanor. But yeah, they had charged them as felonies, the charges. So that was the issue. The issue was not a factual, like, these guys are innocent. It's the DA has not shown at the preliminary hearing... They have not shown an amount sufficient to hold them over for trial on a felony charge. So the third co-defendant, his lawyer was not able to do the motion hearing the day we had set it in May. He had to do it earlier. So he did it. The judge granted it, dismissed that guy's case. And so it was, you know, a foregone conclusion. It was academic that we'll file our motions and then our cases would get dismissed. So the DA went ahead and dismissed the cases a couple days ago, but then they refiled. And I've been a criminal defense lawyer for 10 years now, about 10 years. I've never seen a complaint, which is the document that lists the charges against you. I've never seen one this long. They refiled a 29-count complaint with just, Jesus, like, 7 robberies, 20... What? Commercial burglaries and like.
So is it like 10 times worse now?
I would say it's more like 42 times worse.
So they thought they were getting off for a second, or did they not?
Sort of. I mean, I told no. Like we knew that more charges were coming, but I didn't know it was going to be this bad. And so,
wow.
Again, I don't want to get too much into the procedure, but I was representing this guy via this court-appointed panel where I get paid by the county. This like. Vastly reduced
rate. Was that the guy that was like going crazy?
That's this case, but I didn't represent cursing that guy. Out. I represented his co-defendant, who I talked about it on the episode I did with Kev when we did this lineup. So he comes out, one of 6 guys who comes out for the, you know, with the double glass, you know, the mirrored glass. Yep. He has to like read these statements that witnesses have said. The perpetrators said to them things like, you know, if you call the cops, I'll kill you, that kind of stuff. And, yeah. I had told him ahead of it, I was like, hey, just go out there, read the line loud, like regular voice, look straight into the thing. Like they either remember seeing you or they don't. Like, don't do anything.
Doesn't matter what you say, really.
Yeah, don't do anything to kind of try to hide yourself, like, and look suspicious. So the first guy came out, not my client. They do it sequentially now. That's the better practice in terms of getting IDs, or not letting the defense attack the ID later on in court. But the first guy comes out, and he's like out of central casting. Like he's like, bitch, don't move or I'll shoot you. Like he's playing it up. Like he wants a role in like the next Wire, you know?
Yeah.
And then the next guy came out, and the next guy, and then my guy came out, and he like stands there, puts his head down, doesn't look in the mirror, and he's like, don't call the cops, or I'll shoot you. And I'm just like, what are you doing, buddy? Like, you look so guilty. Even if they don't remember what your face looks like or your voice, Wow. You are the only one who looks like, which, you know, he is the one that is... they're looking at for the crime. So I, you know, he's under a lot of stress, but still. Anyway, the case is now out of the level that I represent people at in the court appointed system. He's facing too much time, which I've represented people for much more serious things and murder and child molest and all that kind of stuff. But because I'm not cleared through this court appointed system, I can't represent him anymore. So I'll be handing the case off. And, you know, I say, that's fine. Like, I'm going to miss out on money, which sucks, but whatever.
Yeah. Fuck that, dude.
I'm not going to say that, but...
All right, so that update wasn't as thrilling as
no.
We were all hoping it would be. But okay.
Now, so let's move on. Let's move on. So let's get into it.
News.
I have a few things I've been jotting down. They may be interesting. They may be not. First thing, and a few of them, like this, some of them are old now. But do you remember? I don't know. 2 weeks ago or so, there was a flare-up between LeBron James and Tristan Thompson. There was like a big argument.
I kind of saw that. I didn't really know what happened, but LeBron was mad at Tristan, right?
Yeah, yeah. He showed him. He screamed at him on the court and like pissed off. So I think after the game, LeBron apologized and said like, I shouldn't have done that, whatever. The reason I wanted to say this, bring this up, is first of all, I had never seen Tristan Thompson in my life before I saw a clip of this. I always assumed he was like a super soft, gentle looking guy, because his name is Tristan. he's a beast. Like, that dude is huge. And he was like yelling back at LeBron. And so then that got me to thinking, now LeBron, look, if you saw LeBron James, you'd be like, holy shit, that dude could beat somebody's ass. Like, he's 6'8", yoked up.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
But at the same time, I don't think he could. I don't think LeBron is tough in that sense. Like, he's tough on the basketball court. I think there's plenty of, like, 6-foot dudes who could just, regular guys who could just beat him up. Like, I don't think LeBron is tough at all. So, you know, and I see.
Are you just, I don't know. I think he's tough. I just don't know if he can fight. He doesn't look like a guy who can fight.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and look, I'm not talking about, like, would a UFC lightweight beat him up? You know,
sure.
Conor McGregor. Of course, probably Conor McGregor would beat the shit out of him. I'm talking about a regular, like, me or you. I mean, you're 6'3", but, like, would a regular dude who can kind of handle himself.
I'm 6'5".
Beat up, okay, 6'2.5", fine. could they beat up LeBron? I think so. Like, I feel like Tristan Thompson would have beat the shit out of LeBron James.
Yeah, well, of course. He's way bigger.
No, I don't think so. Like, he's maybe, like, 3 or 4 inches and probably weighs...
Yeah, that's pretty big. That's a lot bigger.
It's not that... When you're talking about... I don't know. It's not that much bigger.
I mean, it's enough to... Where you're definitely playing a different position, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but... I don't know. I just, you know, like, I think most people would think about LeBron and, like, oh, he's so tough, he's never hurt, and all that kind of shit. But in terms of, like, just taking care of yourself, handling yourself in a fight, I don't really want LeBron backing me up.
I agree. But that kind of comes from the notion, like, we don't really know. He could be a good fighter, who knows? But it kind of comes from his personality. Seems like he's too nice a little bit. At least that's what I get from it. I mean, I know you're not.
Well, I don't agree. Like, he doesn't seem nice. He seems actually kind of like, you know, he always five times.
That's kind of his new persona, though.
Season, kind of he's kind of surly with the media, and that's a big thing.
That's kind of his, like, last 3 or 4 years kind of thing. He used to be, like, the super nice guy, never any problems with the media. Would always be available, like, in his first stint with Cleveland. He was kind of that. He was that guy. He was, like, the face of the league. He still is, you know, of course, but he's had an edge. And Durant's been like that, definitely, lately. Durant was, like, had the, you know, the reputation for being, like, too nice in every way.
But see,
And now he's a jerk.
I don't get that either, because, like.
Like an intentional jerk.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Look, and to be fair, I don't know that much about these guys, even like I know less about them than just a surface level NBA fan, but I would say like I never got the sense Kevin Durant was a nice guy or a sweet guy. He just seemed like a quiet, like, to the media.
Well, that
guy.
Was definitely, there was actually even like a commercial that I saw at one point. I don't know if it was a series of commercials. It seemed like it was. Where it was like Mr. Nice Guy Kevin Durant, he's like helping someone out, and then it shows him on court and he's super mean or something. Like, it was some kind of gimmick like that, and it seemed like it was a reoccurring commercial with, so it's like that was, you know, like kind of his, and I definitely heard it around the league too. It wasn't just the commercial, like, oh, he plays too nice, like that was the knock against him for his first couple of years, you know. Even though he was great, there's always people like saying, oh no, this is what he can't do.
I guarantee I guarantee a 5'7 dude could beat the shit out of Kevin Durant.
You so skinny.
He's so skinny. I mean, I think
did you hear him on Simmons?
I probably said this before, but the first, I think I had never even been to a Warriors game. The first like real basketball game I ever went to was when I was in law school at Santa Clara, and it was like a Santa Clara St. Mary's game. So like not NBA, but these are, you know, not, it's not Duke, North Carolina, but they're okay. They make the tournament.
St. Mary's is good.
Yeah, St. Mary's is good. They were back then. But I went in, and like I'm 5'8", but I weigh like 230 pounds. And I walked in, and I was just shocked at how skinny these dudes were. Even like the so-called power forward or the center.
Oh, in college, yeah.
They're like 6'8", 6'9", but they weigh like 170 pounds. It's crazy.
That's why a guy like Dwight Howard was just such a, like you could just look at him and be like, holy shit. Like, I think that's part of his early game, like just his
physique. Yeah.
Like, nobody looked like that coming straight out of college. He was just a man right away.
But he was also super athletic before he got hurt.
Yeah.
But he's another one someone could beat the shit out of him. Okay, let's move on. Okay, this is one of my, in the vein of rule changes. I think this is a genius idea. I need to read it again because I'm not understanding what I wrote, but hold on. Oh, okay. So here's my idea. I think this would be so fun. At the beginning of the season, and unknown to all the teams, each team is paired with another team. And if at the end of the season, you're a playoff team, but then they unveil who your pair is, if you don't have a better record than that other team, you're out of the playoffs. So for example, if the Spurs had been paired with the Warriors this season, the Spurs, even though they're the 2 seed, they'd be out of the playoffs.
Okay.
And it's better, you could do it in football, it's a little harder because there's so few games, but it would be better in like a sport with a lot of games like baseball and basketball.
Well, it's definitely good for basketball because there's so many teams make the playoffs. Like almost like there's always like one or two like under 500 teams, and kind of like that in football too. I would never do that in baseball, but yeah, for the other two, that's kind of intriguing.
No, baseball. We'll see. It'd be
baseball. It's so hard to get to the playoffs. It would just be the biggest burn ever to be.
I know.
Burned by that.
That would be amazing. But here's what it would do, because that it could lead to, you know, any playoff team being out, it would then move down to the next team to go to the playoffs, the team with the next best record, who that exception doesn't apply to.
Wait, but then they have to beat their pair, right?
Yeah, of course. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But still, okay. It would, let's say you're in basketball. I don't know how many teams are in the East and the West. Let's say you're in 13th place or 12th place.
16. Yeah.
You would keep playing. You wouldn't want to tank because there's a shot that teams are going to get bumped out because of this rule, and you would be next in line. It's a genius idea.
That is cool. I definitely like it for basketball. I'll tell you that because
it would be amazing in baseball. It would be how amazing would it be if you were the, you know, like, you won 98 games, but you were paired with the Cubs who won 101, and you were just...
See, I don't like that.
And so like, the Twins who were 81 and 81 get in. That would be amazing.
The Twins.
I mean, I heard, we can get into this. I was listening to the Starters, this basketball podcast I've talked about, and they were debating the whole... Do you remember Mark Cuban let Tony Romo sit on the bench in a Mavericks outfit?
Yeah. I didn't see anything about it. I heard like 2 days before that it was going
to
happen.
Yeah, and he, I didn't know. According to Cuban, he wanted to like put him into the game, but
what?
Yeah, but what's his name? David Silver, the commissioner.
That would have been your dream.
The commissioner said no, and the Starters guy, the head guy, was like, I thought it was just kind of minor league baseball. And I was like, what? You're talking about a child's game that you get paid to analyze and watch. Like, it's, who gives a shit? Like, Let Tony Romo play for 2 minutes. Like, who gives a fuck? They should let.
That's hilarious.
If you're out of the playoffs, they should let anybody play. Like,
you know what? That's funny that you mentioned that, because I did think about that for a second and thought about you and was like, you know what? They should just do that. Why wouldn't they do that?
I thought it was great. And then when.
And then I was thinking about, like, other teams that would do it, and, you know, it was towards the end of the game. Why the fuck not? And then that did cross my mind, where at first, as a traditional, like, I'm kind of a stupid, you know, sports guy who just likes.
Yeah, you're like this guy, kind of, like, it's like, that's Bush League, like, come on.
Well, but then I thought that for a second, but then I was like, wait a second, they're way out of the playoffs. Yeah. Who gives a fuck? That gives the fans something to do. That gives everyone more interest in the league. That's awesome. Do that.
Exactly. It's so stupid and, like, you know, short-sighted about, like, oh, the integrity of the game and all that shit. Now, Cuban was saying, because of, like, I guess, you know, players' union requirements, he would have had to gone through, like, 24 hours of, like, doctor's tests and all the shit. It was just not even worth it. Here's the deal.
Like, orientation and shit, I bet.
Here's the deal. Mark Cuban, you're a billionaire. Put him on the bench in a jersey and then have him check into the game. Okay, just have them go out there. Who gives a fuck? Like, so you can find $100,000, donate it to charity. Like, Jesus Christ. So Tony Romo retired, or I don't know if he really retired, but whatever. And he says he's.
I mean, how can he retire? He's got a. People are offering him millions of dollars to play.
Well, I don't know. He retired.
He's going to come back. No, I know.
He's the new CBS. I mean,
that's what he says.
The main CBS color guy, right? And so I was listening to, I think it might have been Bill Simmons, and they were talking about how, or maybe it was someone Bill Simmons had on, like one of his like ringer coworkers or whatever. And the guy, I think the guy was saying that he was shocked that they let a guy who has no experience get the number one CBS color guy role. And I was like, I just don't understand. Like, why? They're talking about how hard the job is. Like, no, it's not.
Well, you always talk about this. This is your thing.
I know. First of all,
you said anyone can do it. You even brought up Romo when you had that.
Did I?
Rant.
Well, it's not. It's not a hard job.
Yeah.
By any metric or rubric, it's just like it's not a hard job. Like, compared to what, being a garbage man? Like, I'd much rather. I think it's much harder.
Here's why it's a hard job. Here's why it's a hard job. If I was on there, I'd be swearing and cussing and mumbling. That's why it's a hard job. But if you just talk normally and you're not,
no, I don't think you.
Then
would.
It's easy.
I don't even think you swear on this podcast.
No, I swear sometimes.
No, that's the thing. You are looking for excuses to like say it's a hard job.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I'm telling you, you would be okay. Now, maybe you're right. Maybe the first time, maybe the second time, you drop a shit and they'd have to bleep it out. Whatever.
Yeah. I'd be fine eventually.
That is not a hard thing to stop doing.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, no, all everyone ever does is.
Well, you would have to like hide your Kessler snips and everything. That's difficult.
Well, Harry. Well, hold on. I didn't say it wouldn't be difficult for me. no, but everyone always just complain about announcers, right? So how is this any different? So even if Tony Romo goes in and he's by whatever like subjective analysis you're gonna apply to it, he sucks. He's no worse than Phil Simms, who everyone hated. So like,
exactly.
I just don't understand the whole like. I'm shocked that he was given this job. Like they're only hiring a big name. That's all they care about. Nobody's watching it. They're like, you know what? This is it. If I watch this Giants Jaguars game today and the color guy sucks, I'm never watching the NFL again. Like, that's not happening.
Exactly. No, in fact, they probably want controversial guys in there that guys always talk about, like Joe Buck and all that shit. That generates so much controversy. Shit, I don't care. Mute it. Why don't people just mute? My dad watches every game on mute.
When I do watch games, it's either on mute or I'm at a bar, so I can't hear it anyway. Speaking of a bar, there's that
Kessler throwing. Yep. Well, the only, and that's, I don't even care about an answer. I don't even listen to him if I have him on. But I got to admit though, like when Al Michaels says a game, it is a little special.
See, like,
you can't have a good
so
announcer.
Weird to me. I don't understand it at all.
It's just he talks about way better shit. When Aikman and everyone else says it, just they're blubbering and blabbering about nothing. Al Michaels actually does say like interesting stuff sometimes. I mean,
listen. I'm not being like totally head in the sand, like, oh, it's all the same. I agree with you. There are announcers who throughout my sports watching life, I've liked more than others.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
But none of them has ever been to the point where I'm like, I got to hear that guy or this guy's so bad, I can't watch it. Like, I'm just like, I either mute it or I'm just like, ah, I don't care. Like, they all say the same, like, pablum anyway.
Exactly.
Okay, let's move on. Okay. Here's a thought I had. This was like about 2 weeks ago. Damien.
Oh, wait, we can't move on. One quick thing. Have you heard anything about that Brockmire TV show?
No.
Okay, well then we can pretty much move on. But it's like a new HBO show.
Okay, I'm done. If it's HBO, I'm out.
No, it's an announcer that's like
a baseball announcer. What kind of idiot would I be if I was just like, oh, HBO, no, fuck that. Like,
you probably like it. You know, you probably watch HBO, right? I heard you say that you have it.
I have it through my mom's
Roku or whatever account. That is. Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned that. But it's about a baseball announcer who's always drinking. It's Hank Azaria, you know him?
Oh, yeah. The voice of...
Homer Simpson.
Not Homer, but he does a bunch of voices.
No, it is Homer. Oh, no, you're right. It's not Homer. Yeah.
No, he does... It's like Burns. He does Mo, the bartender.
Apu.
Apu, yeah.
Yeah.
No,
but he's doing like a drunk baseball announcer who said something on air and got sent down to the minors, like lost his major league job. So it looks kind of funny, but yeah.
Well,
speaking of announcers,
I'll let you check it out and tell me about it, and I'll never watch it.
That's exactly what I was going to say to you. You'll probably check it out.
Okay, so look, Damian Lillard on April 8th scored 59 points, and then a week before that. A guy named Booker from the Suns scored 70.
Yeah, Devin Booker, yep.
Yeah, and at the time, so the Suns were far out of playoff contention. I guess the Blazers obviously weren't because they're in the playoffs for another two games before they get swept by the Warriors. But it got me to thinking, because I also heard a podcast where it might have been Bill Simmons. They were saying, they were debating like who could score 100. And they were saying, like, it's just so impossible these days. Like, it'll never happen. I was thinking, like, well, if this guy, Devin Booker, on a horrible Suns team that isn't going to the playoffs, so who gives a fuck, scored 70. And everyone after the game admitted, yeah, we were just trying to get him the ball so he could score. If you went into a game, you know, you're already knocked out of the playoffs, like, hey, you're our best dude. You're our shooting guard. We're trying to get you to score 100 points. Even if we lose 170 to 100, we want you to score 100 points. That's totally doable. Like, so why don't they do it? It's kind of like, you know, in the vein of, like, let Tony Romo play for a little bit. Like, do something fun and crazy. Like,
yeah, but, you know, there's just no incentive for a coach. You know, I'm just playing devil's
advocate. I'm not talking about the coach.
I would rather see that.
The coach will never do that because the coaches, by definition, are of that sort of like, even down to the last game of the season, they're trying to show off how they coach and, you know, the integrity of the game and all that shit. I'm talking about the players because the players, after Booker scored 70, everyone admitted, all the players said, we're trying to get him the ball. We didn't care. They lost that game, too, by like 15, I think. Yeah. But they're like, we just wanted to get him to 70 because that's like a cool thing. So, fuck it. Start from quarter one at 12 minutes to go and try to get the dude 100 points. Not Booker necessarily, but like someone. And I just want more fun. Like, a game between the Mavericks and the Suns, game 80 this season, didn't matter for anyone. Except, hey, let's make some fucking headlines here for like some fun shit. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, it's funny you say that though. How they're giving like letting him have stats because me and Dylan, one of our loyal listeners, he's my brother.
Shout out, Dylan. How's the wife?
He's been.
I wasn't invited to the wedding.
He loves Russell Westbrook, and I hate him. And
of course, you do. God, you're racist.
we're always arguing back and forth. Like,
and when I say racist, you're racist toward turtles because he looks just like a turtle.
He is a turtle. Yep, yep. A funny story. Big Kev the Oracle.
fan it's already funny. Just started
played some poker with Russell Westbrook recently.
When Are you serious? Russell
was in town. Yeah, he was at the Oaks.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, but anyways, yeah. Dylan, my brother always says that, he averages triple-double. He's definitely MVP. And I do agree that Westbrook should be MVP this year, closely over Harden, even though I like Harden more. But there's so – I saw, like, a video of teammates, like, getting out of the way of rebounds and letting Westbrook get it, like, totally blatantly, obviously giving him stats and stuff like that. And I always use that against Westbrook, like, show that to Dylan to prove my point of how he's just so obsessed with stats, and his whole team helps him gets all the stats. You know, of course he's still great too. But
yeah, I mean, I don't.
It's just cheesy that they do that
enough to like care one way or the other who wins. The only thing I've been hearing lately is that Harden basically has the same stats.
Yep.
He just didn't hit that, you know, that mythological triple double for the season thing.
Yep.
And
which was artificial.
His under over was way lower, and they're like 10 games above their under over, and the Thunder are like 2 games over their under over for the season. So it's like, I don't know, like Harden, same stats, has a captained a better team, and they were supposed to be worse than the Thunder. That kind of says it all to me.
Yeah, that was my argument too, but then it just came to the point where it was just like, wow, no one's ever done anything like this. And I wouldn't look, so I don't have a problem either way, but as a Westbrook hater, I don't see how it's not him this year. He was talked about from start to finish. Sure, they both have crappy teams, and this is another point of contention because the Rockets have like Patrick Beverley and a couple good role players, but I think Harden made them better. You know, so
yeah, that's what people were saying,
and I don't think Westbrook makes his team anyone that he has ever played with better, but I just think he willed that team. Without him, they're the worst team in the league, maybe. And then without, I think the Rockets still win like 30.
What everyone was saying is that, I mean, you can say that, but everyone before the season started, it was thought that the Rockets were a worse team than the Thunder. Like, if you took Harden off the Rockets or Westbrook off the Thunder, people would have said, well, the Rockets are worse. So, I mean, I don't know.
Sure, but not by much. It was kind of close.
But what do I know? Because I would have written in Muggsy Bogues for MVP this season.
That's a good choice.
As I would in every season. Okay, here's another one. So, have you heard about... We may have talked about this, how the NBA has decided they're not going to, speaking of MVP, they're not going to announce any of the season awards until, like, it might even be after the season ends.
Oh, my Lord. That's the one thing that I hate that baseball does. It's just, this is the stupidest thing I ever heard. Because baseball does it, like, literally, like, it's like January almost, and they're announcing the MVP. It's like, no one gives a shit now.
Well, okay, so the NBA, I don't know exactly... How long?
It's usually right after the season. It should be like right around.
What's going to be? No. They're so for the first time they're doing this award show where it's going to be some show.
Me?
Yeah, and so but they're not going to do it until I think it's after the finals. So it's after the whole season.
Have they voted already?
Had to have votes in before the playoffs started. But they're going to do this big show now. To me. And you know, take this all with a grain of salt because I don't give a shit. I actually think that's a better way to do it than this was so under the radar. No one talked about this, and who knows if it really mattered. But if you remember the way that the NFL does it, Matt Ryan literally was awarded the MVP like 3 days before he went out and lost the Super Bowl, which has to be really fucking weird. Like, you're preparing for the game of your life to enshrine you forever, and you're awarded with, hey, Matt, you win the MVP this season. Like, what a weird time to give it to him. Like,
wow, was that really on the Super Bowl?
It was announced like 2 or 3 days before the Super Bowl, which just seems insane. Like, it would be one thing if a player who wasn't involved in the Super Bowl had won. You know, Ezekiel Elliott gets it and he's already out. Who cares? But the fact that, like, Matt Ryan got it, and I have no idea if it played any role, but, like, if even 0.01% he went in, like, coasting a bit to the Super Bowl, he's like, I'm the MVP. Man.
Totally.
That's fucking weird.
That's so crazy, because looking back at it, I swear I don't remember the announcement for the MVP for NFL. I missed it.
No, I remember it at the time, and
I never got it. And I never questioned it. Wow, yeah, so he got it. Okay.
He did, and I'm telling you, it's not like they announced it at the beginning of the playoffs. They announced it like 3 days before the Super Bowl.
That's probably why I missed it. I wasn't looking for it. Yeah. I mean, yeah,
crazy, man.
That's crazy.
Okay. So the next two kind of go together. There's something about cross-gender referees, like a female ref in the NFL or something. And I was wondering, like, I know there's at least one or two female NBA refs, but why are there no, like, women refs in men's sports? Like, why are there no female umpires? That's insane.
I was just going to say that there should be a female umpire.
Or in football or in basketball. Like, it's insane. Like, there's no reason except that, oh, we've always done it this way. At this point, especially, I mean, I don't know why I feel like especially.
Wait, you said there's no NFL, or there is an NFL. Is there an NFL one?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, there is, you said the
there's
NBA.
There's one or there two is. In the NBA, I think.
Yeah, but, and I thought there was one in the NFL. Mm-hmm. There's definitely like a linesman in the NFL that's a woman.
I don't know. Look that up. I'm not sure. They may have tried someone out. But, I mean, really, like, it is kind of crazy in baseball. Although baseball is the most, like, backward fucking traditional sport. But, like, why can't you
love it.
Calling balls and strikes and, like, whether or not a fucking ball hit the line?
Yeah. Well, there is an NFL one. Oh, there is? I remember. I think it was last year. Yeah, Sarah Thomas.
Oh, they already ran her out. Fucking disgusting. but then, okay, that also dovetails into this next thing. I was watching I might have been watching, like, a soccer highlight or something, and at the bottom...
Damn, she's hot, too.
Jesus Christ. Okay. At the bottom of the screen, it was like an ESPN soccer highlight, maybe, and at the bottom of the screen was a crawl, and it said, like... You know, results, you know, it's like, you know, there's baseball, there's tennis, there's whatever, there's NBA. It said women's bowling. I was thinking, like, in the same vein,
that even happens?
Why is there women's bowling? Why isn't there just bowling? Why do we have to say, there's no physical, like...
No. Why is there bowling?
Well, no, I totally agree with that. But, I mean, look, forgive me if I haven't done enough, like, you know, scientific delves into the physics of bowling, but I feel like a woman bowler is not really at a disadvantage to a man bowler, right? Like,
maybe slightly, because I know women's balls are smaller slightly, but would get a strike every time.
Yeah,
right?
But I mean,
a pro better get a strike.
Men, depending on your strength, you're going to be playing with a ball or bowling with a ball that weighs less or more. Like, I don't understand. Shouldn't top women's bowlers be just as good as men's bowlers?
Probably are.
Or like pool, maybe.
I wonder how, like, darts is there women's
darts? Bowl, pool, all those kinds of sports. Like, I
know there's good, really good women's pool players. Maybe some of the best are women. I know that.
Well, but what I'm saying,
or like out of the top 10, I think there's like two women or something.
But top 10 at what? Like, if they're the top 10 at in women's pool, like, I'm saying,
no,
why don't
in
they
all
cross gender, intragender, bowling, pool, darts, like all those kinds of, I don't even want to call them sports, like athletic endeavors or games. Like, I just saw women's bowling and I was like, wait a second. I mean, now part of that is because I've probably bowled 7 times in my life, and my average is like 62. So like every woman who's ever bowled
more
than 10 times is better than me. But
I've had multiple women beat me at bowling.
That's what she said. See that. Anyway, yeah. So anyway, our society sucks, and we really need a meteor to hit the earth and wipe humanity away. Speaking of wiping humanity away, I did want to get your take. I mean, I kind of did because I sent you the clip.
All right, let's get to the picks after this one. But yeah, let's get to our picks.
We're about to because we're into soccer. The Brøndby fans in Denmark throwing dead rats at the Copenhagen.
Oh, yeah.
Soccer is so amazing.
That came like on the heels of I think the same day I had a Swedish game or something that was interrupted. Like that never happened.
Well, there was Lyon was playing in Sardinia at Bastia, and the Bastia fans literally just ran on the field and started beating up one of the Lyon goalies, just like fighting. And then so Lyon, the players left the field before the game, and they were like, "We're not going to play. Like we're in danger." And the league was like, "Oh, you're going to play. This game is happening." And so they went out, they played the first half, and then as halftime was like the whistle blew, more fans ran on the field and beat up another one of the goalies. So they called
a different one?
Yeah, so they called the game. And like, I guess Bastia is gonna like take a 3-0 loss and they're gonna like be fined or something. But it's like let me be for the 4.5 listeners who do not understand or pay attention to international soccer, Lyon is a major team like in France. Like they're in the top 3-4 every season lately. Yeah. They're going to be playing in the Champions League, maybe at least Europa. They're a huge team. They're like, you know, there's no analog here, but it's like the Angels. They're like the LA Angels. Like it'd be like if like, you know, just fans came on and started beating up Mike Trout. And then the Angels, they were in Milwaukee, and they're like, "No, we're not going to play." And Rob Manfred was like, "Oh, you're going to play when Milwaukee's getting the win." And then after the 5th inning, they come on, they start beating up Mike Socia and the catcher. It's like this is just...
And then the next day, another game happens. Exactly. There's not like any like ramifications.
And this is, it's just, this okay, is another just game. Soccer. And again, I'm sorry, I said Sardinia. I meant Corsica. Bastia's in Corsica. I get them mixed up. Corsica is the French one, and Sardinia is the Italian one. My point...
Isn't that where Napoleon's from?
Yes, exactly. But my point is... And you know, like, I'm not... I want to tiptoe around this because I don't want to be insensitive or you know, nationalist or racist. But, like, this isn't crazy fans in Bolivia, you know, throwing people, you know, off the rafters, you know, as happened actually in Argentina recently. Or in Latin soccer, sometimes you hear about like refs getting their heads cut off and like in like developing nations. This is France, like where they can't keep fans off the pitch beating up players. Like it's soccer is insane, man.
But I mean whatever, if that happens, it happens. But the reaction that soccer gives is just priceless to me. There's just nobody. It's not even a big deal. No, it's not even
just,
talked about.
Just go on.
It's not even makes the news.
Okay.
It would be the biggest deal ever.
Okay, I know you want to get to the picks. I have two more real quick ones. First one, I got 3 words for you. Ernie Johnson memoir. That is an early 2017 candidate for least essential book of the year. Again,
I'm trying to think who Ernie Johnson
again,
was.
I was listening to the starters, and they had him on.
The NBA guy.
He was pimping his book. He is the bald dude who heads the TNT. I know. So he's not even a former player. He's just a dude who runs a studio show.
He has that weird voice. Yeah.
And he wrote a memoir. It's just like, who the fuck would ever need to read that? Even his children.
Even he, yeah. Oh my
god! It's just
does not seem interesting. At
this
all.
Is just our fucking celebrity culture. Someone, you know, NBA fans will be like, "I got to read that Ernie Johnson memo." No, you don't. Don't do it.
Yeah, that's why. That's why when people like last year were saying like, "Oh, so many celebrities are dying. It's crazy." It's because we've made like 8 million celebrities. And, like the guy that like washes the pool of like a celebrity is now a celebrity.
You're right. So. Like that reality star who died a year ago today, Prince. You know.
Oh yeah, yeah, that guy. He would have never been anything if it wasn't for.
Okay. Here's my last thing. TMZ. Here's my last thing. Okay, so I'm listening to the Bill Simmons podcast, and he has on the producer and like the creator of the Fast and the Furious movies, right? And now I've seen like probably the first one. I probably saw it like 5, 6, 7 years after it came out on like DVD, and I've probably seen one of the other 7 or however many there. This is the 8th one that just came out. I've probably seen one of the other ones, like half of it or something, right? So I'm not a fan.
Is your cat like cat like hissing?
Yeah, that's Kit Kat. She's she won't shut the fuck up. We love her. Love her to death, though. So they're talking about. So Bill Simmons loves the Fast and the Furious movies, right? So, but what I'm trying to say here is here are my bona fides. Like, I don't dislike the Fast and the Furious movies. I feel nothing about them. It's like, okay, they're action movies, whatever, who cares? They're not my thing. But I'm not like I hate them or they're bad, like they're whatever.
Sure.
But this dude is talking about the making of the first one. He said that so they had Paul Walker, the guy who died. Do you know the history?
Yeah.
So he died. But they had him to play the good guy or whatever in the first one. The studio, they wanted this guy named Timothy Oliphant, who is kind of more of a serious actor. He was in...
I've heard of him.
Yeah, I like him. He was in the show... it wrapped up last season or two years ago. It was,
Breaking Bad?
No, but it was one of those... people liked it like that, but whatever. Okay, played a cop.
Yeah.
He turned them down. So then he says, we wanted to get... Then I saw this guy, Vin Diesel, and I wanted to get this guy, Vin Diesel, to play this role. And so I had a lunch with him. And, you know, at the time, Vin was not... He was coming off of Pitch Black, which was some, like, space sci-fi movie. He was like, you know...
I saw that movie with Kevin.
I like that movie. It's a solid movie.
No, that's not the movie. I saw Chronicles of Riddick with Kevin and your brother.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, thanks for bringing up my brother. Rest in peace. Just kidding. He's not dead. He's serving 16 years in state prison. This is the way the dude talks about it. He's like, he says, so I meet with Vin, and Vin, you know, he's coming off Pitch Black, but like, he's still kind of unknown. He's not a star. But by the time I finished that lunch, it felt like he was the star, and I was like begging him to do the role. And Bill Simmons is like, you know, and obviously he did do the role, but what was your plan C? Like, what if he had turned you down? And the guy goes, he gets super serious, and this is the producer of this movie. He goes, honestly, Bill, I don't think we make the movie. And then he says, because, and I'm quoting now, I don't know who else could have played the role, end quote. Now, hold on. Hold on. I've seen the movie, the Vin Diesel role. He's like some muscle bound, like, you know, guy living on the edge, you know, like he's...
It's like Sly Stone or something.
Sure. Yeah. So it's just like, or any now forgotten 80s, you know, action actor who did serviceable job. Anyone could have played that role who hit the gym for 6 months. Literally anyone. And this dude sits there with a straight face and a serious tone. He's like, I don't even think we make the movie because I don't know who else could have played the role. Now, listen, I understand you love Vin Diesel now. You feel like he's your brother. You've been working with him for 15 years or whatever. And I understand, you know, he means a lot to you because of this franchise and blah, blah, blah. But, like, come on, buddy. Like, no. Like, and so they go on to just have all these serious conversations. And then... At a certain point, he was talking about after Paul Walker died, they they like had to have a come to Jesus moment because they had like half of a movie done. I don't know if it was like the fifth one or the sixth one. And they were like, how are we going to do this? So they ended up doing it with like CGI, and they actually like brought Paul Walker's brothers in to like they didn't use their faces, but their bodies are kind of the same and their mannerisms.
Yeah.
So they did that and they cobbled it together and they made this movie. And he said, like, when we screened it at, you know, at this theater where we have always screened every single one the first time, because that's where we started with the original one, there were like 5,000 people there or 1,000 people or whatever. He was like, you know, when I left, I'm walking into the parking lot and these kids, they just got, like, I'm crying. These kids come up to me and they go, thank you, man. Like, thank you for honoring our hero's memory. And I'm listening to this and I'm like, okay, first of all, that never happened. There's no fucking way that, in his words, in air quotes, kids knew who this random dude who's not in the movie was.
Yeah,
somehow
yeah.
knew he was the producer. And they came up in like with a heart, these like 17-year-old punk kids who were into street racing came up to this old, you know, 72-year-old Jewish dude and were like, hey man, thanks for honoring Paul's memory. Like, that didn't happen. And he, I think he literally used the phrase like, you helped us heal.
Oh my God.
It's just,
Lord.
It's just, I just, I, my overarching point on this is, It's so insane and inane and hilarious sometimes hearing people talk about like trash, and I say trash like lovingly. Like I'm not saying it should be thrown away. I'm saying like Fast and the Furious movies, it's junk. Like it's junk food.
Sure.
Like fun yeah. popcorn shit. Like it's fine. But talking about it and elevating it to the level of art and elevating it to the level of like seriousness and importance, and it's I mean, it's I don't know. It's gross to me. Like I found listening to this guy gross, and I will say this: it's worth listening to, if not to just like incredulously go, "What the fuck are these dudes talking about?" for like 50 minutes. It's amazing.
Okay.
And with that, I should say, hey,
we're never going to get invited on Simmons.
Next week, we'll be joining the Ringer Network. okay, so now if you want, and I hope you guys can hear that North Oakland
yes.
alarm.
That's
my that's my.
We hear like buzzing and yeah, horns.
That's
and
my yes. neighbor's the father of her son. He always comes over in his Land Rover, and it has a really really sensitive car alarm, and it goes off the nights he's here. It goes off at least 17 times.
Is that JC? JC's parents?
Who's JC?
Nothing, never
Jesus
mind.
Jesus Christ?
No, JAYCEE.
JC, who's that?
Didn't you tell me, like, one of your friends named their son or daughter JC with a capital C?
Yeah, but that's. I don't live near them, thank God. Or I would have already killed myself after killing their family, right. Probably, but.
All right, I got to get out of here, though, man. So let's pick
our picks. I did see someone say something trite the other day. You saw that shooting in San Bernardino where the guy killed his ex-wife. She was a teacher. And he also killed one of her students, and then he killed himself.
Kind of, yeah.
So someone tweeted, and I've had the same thought, but someone tweeted, look, if you're thinking of doing a murder-suicide, please do the suicide part first.
First.
Please.
Yeah, for real.
Please. Okay,
what is your problem?
You go ahead, because okay. you know me. It's all soccer.
That's time. All right, I got my pick. Yeah, and you're 17 and 10. You're all soccer. I'm pretty mixed up. I got a good record at soccer. Let me check here, actually.
Well, it's easier for you because you pick, like, three NBA games, and then you switch them depending on which ones won and didn't.
Exactly. You got to be innovative, man. All right, so
I respect
actually,
that. I respect your cheating ways.
Speaking of NBA, I'm 7-3, so I'm 70%. In basketball. I'm 2-2 in baseball, 50%.
Wait, I'm sorry, man. I hate to do this. I got to interrupt. In the Australia Northern Premier League Tasmania League, Clarence United is tied with Devonport at 28.
Clarence United. All right, so yeah. And then I'm 1-0 in my long shots. You're 0-3 in your long shots. So don't listen to any of Joseph's long
shots. No, I had a Lovis 1 week, and they were like plus 400, and they won.
All right, we'll have to review that. But okay.
Jesus Christ.
I'm going, all my games are tomorrow, so Saturday. Well, today you'll probably be listening to them, so hopefully you'll get this
time. I specifically went out of my way to pick stuff on Sunday and Monday so that people could hear the picks. No one's going to hear your picks now.
I did it on Saturday so I can greedily keep all my picks to myself and get all the money myself.
Yeah, exactly, so because if other people had bet on their random Bovada account, that would have hurt your winnings.
Yeah, I'm greedy. I want it all to myself. All right, Giants, plus 110 at Rockies. That's tomorrow.
What time?
I got the Giants. Like 6 or 5.
Wait, the Rockies, that's an NFL team?
Yeah, their expansion this year. Royals, plus 120 over the Rangers. I like that. So two kind of underdogs there
and
in
again,
baseball.
And again, what time is that?
That's earlier. I think that's like 1.
Okay, so literally no one will have heard your pick.
Just that one. Well, actually, all of them. Yeah, you're right. No, I'm going to have this up tonight. This will be up. Everyone will hear this.
All right, the tweets have to go out too then.
Oh, it's so hard to do everything. Okay, I'm going to do it. But right after this, I got to run. I'll be back. But okay, so that's two picks, Giants and Royals. This is all Saturday, April 22nd. And then I have the Angels, the first favorite. They're minus 135 over the Jays. The Jays are just looking horrible. Just take the Angels.
You're right. You're right. It's good to judge a Major League Baseball team after 7 games.
Well, okay. That's all my baseball picks. Now I have 2 soccer specials. I have the tie in Stoke at Swansea. It's probably going to be like plus 200, plus 220. And then in the FA Trophy or the FA Cup or some crap like that, there's Chelsea over Tot, and I have Chelsea's plus 160. So that's my 5 picks. I'm gonna go at least 3-2. By the way, I've had a winning record every week except one.
When you went 0-5.
No, I went 0-3 that week.
I prefer to just focus on the O part.
It's like you want me to lose.
No, I love you. And I'm looking at it. If you want to take more credit, I'm looking at Swansea Stoke on Flash Score. The tie is plus 240.
So ooh, okay.
Even longer odds.
Okay, I was just gonna make it 280, anyways.
Oh, of course you were. Oh, and by the time the game, by the time Stoke won, you would have said you would took Stoke, right? Okay. Well, here's what I got. This so the first 4 picks are all on Sunday.
All right, I'm gonna put the mic down for a sec. Let's just hear your wonderful picks.
Okay, wait, are you sticking around?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still here.
In honor of you. Your Crystal Palace. It's going to be a goal festival. They're at Liverpool. Take the over. I'm guessing the over is going to be 3. I like 4 or 5 goals in that game. So the over in Liverpool versus Crystal Palace Sunday. Napoli is on the road against Sassuolo in Italy on Sunday morning at like 3:30 in the morning Pacific time. They were on Flash Score. They're minus 278. That normally means that the spread is -1.5. I say take the spread. Napoli -1.5. I also love the over, so I'd say there's no way Napoli doesn't win. So I would say, or there's no way Napoli loses. So, I think there's no way they don't win. So I would say bet Napoli over 2, but that's not one of my picks. Napoli spread is the pick. Also in Italy. Go with the over in Udinese versus Cagliari. It's probably going to be 2.5. It's definitely going over. I see at least 4 goals. Go with Sampdoria. They're a solid, solid team. I think they're playing Crotone, who is a horrific team. The Crotone.
Come on, man. I'm talking. We need soccer picks, not pasta recipes.
Sampdoria, Crotone, Udinese. Just go Sampdoria. They're -110 at Crotone. I'm sorry. They're at home against Crotone, which is even better. So Sampdoria outright -110. Yeah, Napoli's -278. So take them -1.5. The over in Udinese, and then my final is on Monday the one Italian game, it's Roma. Roma is playing the worst team in Serie A in Italy, and they're the Fish, Pescara, and they're going down to Serie B when the season's over. Take Roma over. I'm guessing the over is going to be 3.5, which is a little dicey. I hate when you need 4 goals in a soccer game, but go Roma over. They're like minus 400. Them parlayed with the over, if that hits, this is a tasty little, like 150, plus 150. And the last thing I want to say, speaking of Italian soccer, it's going to be amazing next season, Jonas, because looking at the Serie B standings, the team in first, the team that's going to be in Serie A next year, next season, we're going to have a team simply called SPAL.
How do you spell
SPAL? S-P-A-L. SPAL.
I've literally
never seen that name before.
Yeah, me neither. How is that even possible?
And that's episode 35 of the Betting Sucks, the podcast. Go to bettingsucks.com. At @betting_sucks on Twitter. Jonas will have the tweets up. I can do some tweets if you need me to. At @behemothdog, he'll retweet some stuff. Jonas?
At the Martin System is Twitter. You can get at me and see my NFL picks for the that aren't even relevant for another 8 months. But then you can get at us at you can check out the site actually at themartinsystemnfl.com.
Please stop saying get at us. We're not a 2008 rap blog, okay?
All right, I'm out of here.
All right, you know, as always, some people dream of going to the planets, to other solar systems. I just dream of fucking taking a nap. Goodbye.
Bye-bye time.
Co-ops, farm, drop top, hoops and yachts, guzzling straight shots of scotch, formulating up plots to escape from seldom slot, cause it's scorching hot, making it hard trying to figure who's out to trap me, but tacky, got all kinds of undercovers that's coming at me, perhaps he won't be happy till they snatch me and place me where half a slacks be, sitting in cast tacky, but never me, see, my destiny's to be forever free, in ecstasy on a hill that awaits for me, so plush just to visualize it like a coke.